Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Obamacare is in the crosshair of the Republicans and Donald Trump. And you know what's funny? If you look at some of Donald Trump's tweets lately, and that's the world that we live in. We live in a world where we've got a tweeting president, and I think we should get used to it. He's insane. If you've seen some of them and some of the tweets, his tweets have been somewhat directed at the Republicans. You know, be careful, watch out, slow your roll. It's very interesting because, and this is where I think the disconnect comes with Donald Trump and the Republicans. Donald Trump, I think, has some things he wants to get done, but he's not going to let and I think this is where the left has to understand something. This is why I say give him a chance. This is why I say give him a chance. The left has to understand something. I don't think he's driven by ideology. I think he's driven by getting stuff done. I think he has been the coyest, slyest fox that we have seen in the political world in the umpteen 50, 60, 100. I can't even, you know, you go back and you look, because I don't think you can find something like this. And I think he's going to surprise some people. Now, the Republicans and Donald Trump has said along the way, their whole thing is to repeal and replace. Now, they're not going to do that from Jump Street. And they've made that very clear that, look, unwinding this thing, it's huge, it's unruly, it's not going to happen the way, because I think a lot of people think, and this is the naivete of the American people, not you listening because you're brilliant, but a lot of other people out there, especially people who are new to politics because of the likes of Donald Trump who've rolled in here. But the naivete of people to think that on day one he signs it, it goes away, and all of a sudden something else happens. It's not the way it happens. This thing is a massive law. It's not health care, it's law. The health care happens to be a part of it, but in the end, it was written as a law. And because of that, it's slowly but surely got to be unwound. But along the way, if people are intelligent, and again, I hope they are intelligent. You know what's amazing about politics is I've never met people in my life that are so tone deaf to what Americans want. Do you know what I mean? It's like there are a lot of Americans out there, even people who can't stand Obamacare, who like some of the provisions that are in there. You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Why don't we do something smart? And I think what you're starting to see is, hey, guess what? The Republicans are starting to realize, okay, we can't just unwind this thing. This is one of those things where you've got this giant, huge twine that's all knotted up, and you slowly but surely, you don't just pull it and it goes straight and everything's fine. You have to find, okay, there's the beginning, and you have to undo this, and you have to undo, and that's what's going to have to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. So hold your horses. The other thing the Republicans have problems is there's too many, how should we say this, too many chefs, not enough sous chefs. Everybody's got their own plan that they want to put in place. Common sense says, let's take a look at all the plans, including what the Democrats had put out there in Obamacare. Let's see what's worked there and how it's failed elsewhere. What can we bring to the program that we can join with the stuff that's good and the stuff that people like? What can we get rid of that the stuff don't like? And how can we make this thing better for the American people? But it's politics, and the fight's going to be there. The president right now, Barack Obama, has met with Congress, has met with his people, have told them to fight tooth and nail, have told them to make this thing Trump care, have told them to go out there and to make this an uncomfortable battle when I don't think it should be. But this is the world we live in. We're polarized, we're political, and we're loud. This is Missouri Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver. Take a listen.
It was a good meeting, and the president made it very clear that if the Republicans proceed with this wrongheaded plan to repeal Obamacare, they will rue the day.
Uh-oh. I hate it when people rue the day. Don't you hate it when people rue the day? Well, first of all, enough of that. That's a bunch of, you know, you're overstating things, and I don't think anybody's going to rue the day. And by the way, if the Republicans didn't do anything, their constituents are going to make them rue the day. So it's a lose-lose in that situation. But this is what I'm talking about in common sense world. Common sense, as an individual like me, who is very independent of any ideologue whatsoever. I have some stuff on the right I like. I have some stuff on the left I like. Everybody always wants to pigeonhole people who are on the radio and say, you've got to be like this or you've got to be like that. Stop with that. Neither side has exclusivity towards good ideas, right? Some have good ideas, some have bad. It goes both ways. That's the truth. There's got to be a strategy in this. And the Republicans can play it right or they can play it wrong. Now, me being the kind of person that I am, I'm not super optimistic they're going to play it right. I don't know if they're going to strum all the right chords. I don't think they will. I think along the way they're going to make a mistake here or there. Or they may just overreach, which is always a possibility because they are a little too high in their britches, if you will. But even Paul Ryan has come out and said, look, we got to do this right. Take a listen.
And we're going to do this the right way. We're going to get this law repealed. We're going to get this law replaced. And we're going to have a transition period so that people do not have the rug pulled out from underneath them while we get to a better place.
Bam. That to me is what has to happen. And here's the thing. What the Republicans can't do is fall under the pressure that everybody wants them to take it away the first day. You've got to explain to the people, and unfortunately to the masses, for all intents and purposes, in this reality world that we live in, you have to keep it simple, stupid, all right? Have charts, do whatever you need to do, right? Like a pop-up book, but you have to show them that this is what's going to have to happen. We must repeal and replace. There will be smaller bills that will move over, and they will move over older bills and move on in there. We will slowly but surely take this thing apart inch by inch. This isn't going to be one of those things where we blow up a building all at once. Instead, we're slowly but surely going to take it, pieces away from it that we don't like, and hopefully keep some of the structure. Obamacare, I didn't like for several reasons. One of the reasons was, first and foremost, it was shoved down our throat, and government gets involved in a lot of things. They screw it up. And I don't think that they need to be involved in every aspect of our life. They do believe and think that they are. So at some point in time, you just have to go, ah. Secondly, and this is extremely important, and I don't think people realize this, and this to me is vitally important, is it was never written to be health care. It was written to withstand all kinds of challenges in court systems. Just because you have health care doesn't mean it's great. And I think people forget that. But inside of this, not all of it was a mess. Think of it like this. You've got this house, right? It's a beautiful house. And you walk over to it, and you're thinking, okay, this is a nice-looking house, except for the part that it's ugly on the outside. And on the inside, wow, the kitchen's nice, but the bathrooms are horrible. Who decorated the inside of this house? Some of it's god-awful, but some of it's okay. That's what Obamacare is. We need to go out, and we need to put a lick of paint on of it. We need to fix the grass in the front yard. We need to keep the stuff that's good. Okay, the master bath is great, right? The closets are fine. The wallpaper's disgusting. The kitchen's okay. We really need to redesign the living room here. We need to make it more livable. That's the best way to describe this kind of situation. You don't just go, I don't like the paint, and even though the house structure is pretty good, and it's got the right kind of idea, we're just going to blow it all up and rebuild. It's not going to work that way. We need to do a smart thing. And I think the thing is, this is the other thing. You realize that, yes, you want to do this right, but you also have, it can't just be about getting it right when it comes to the bills. You have to get it right when it comes to the public. Perception is reality. And if you're a Republican, you being seen as somebody that wants to keep some of these takes the sting out of what the Democrats want to do, which is to brand you as an evil person who wants to take health care away from everybody and wants to, you know, the things that they always like to do. Grandma's going to the, you know, is being thrown off the cliff or whatever baloney they're doing. You're taking away a single mom's health care. No. If you're seeing as somebody who can use the stuff in there that's decent and good and right and smart and actually works. You take the sting out of the bite that they have. And it shows that not only can you be bipartisan, but you can also realize that they have good ideas as well. And you watch how that works. Unfortunately, as much as Paul Ryan said it, there's too many people out there that scream and yell and want the rug pulled out from everybody else. And you find out what happens then. More often than not, you're not good at that, and it's a giant mess. And then we got to clean it up. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Got a lot of tweets going on, got a lot of texts going on. We'll get to some of those. I was called a racist last night. I want to touch a bit on that, about Obama and his legacy, and how people have turned everything in this world into politics, and how we've become branded as something, no matter what we do. So why try? Chad Benson Show.
Stuck inside a memory. You forgot about a destiny. You buried me. Didn't you love me? Faster than the devil.
Now let's get this party started.
Obviously.
You feel exactly the same way, but the opposite.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man. Who is that, Phil?
O-A-R.
O-A-R. Like O-A-R. Did they do Chasing Cars?
No, that was Dog's Eye View, I think.
Was that? I don't know. Was that Dog's Eye View? Or was it Snow Patrol that did that?
Snow Patrol did something similar.
O-A-R. I don't know. I don't even know. So that's a good song right there. We do that, kids. You're learning something new every day. We try to give you some infotainment. By the way, we talked last hour about the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts 100-year anniversary selling cookies. What did the Boy Scouts said? I said that two or three people have texted me and sent me an email saying, look, Chad, you got it wrong about the Boy Scouts because Girl Scouts have cookies. And I said, it's a great idea. My suggestion was the Boy Scouts sell chicken wings because it would be awesome. But everybody said, no. They sell popcorn. They sell popcorn, which is good. I love popcorn. That's cool. So thank you all out there who chimed in about the popcorn thing. You know what I'm saying? Last night, I talked about President Barack Obama. If you listen to the show, you know that I think I'm pretty fair when it comes to race. I think I'm more than fair. I have empathy. I have understanding the best that I possibly can as a 46-year-old white man who grew up in America where, yeah, you know, to be completely honest, I had a lot of advantages. Growing up in America, regardless of color, gives you advantages. But growing up in America, yeah, you know what? There were some advantages. Definitely. Being a cracker. Being a crack-ass cracker, there were some advantages. Not going to lie to you there. But I do believe that I am beyond fair when it comes to Barack Obama. I wanted him to succeed. From day one, I wanted my president to succeed, regardless of political party, color, sexuality. I want them to succeed. Gender, non-gender, agender specific, normalities, whatever. I want them to succeed. I want Donald Trump to succeed. In fact, saw a new poll today that says 57% of America wants Donald Trump to be a success. The fact that that's not 100% is disgusting. It should always be 100%. But we are polarized. But last night, I graded him out as a C. And by the way, most of the disdain that I got was from people on the right who said, you're an idiot, Chad. He got an F. He's the worst president of all time. I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to entertain this because you're an idiot. Right? There's plenty of shows that will dribble on for 3 hours about that. One I did get, though, and I took exception to this. He says, hey, racist. I'm assuming that's me. The half-black president would probably get an A-minus if those good old racist cousin of yours up in D.C. would have let him pass one of those ideas. They hated a black man be over this country, even when he won twice. I think you got something. Maybe we need another riot. But this time, take it to the cracker neighborhood. Let y'all know this isn't 1950s or 1960s. Okay. Look, everybody's got their point of view. I have my opinion. You don't like my opinion? Go get your own show. Go listen to somebody else. Go find validation somewhere else. You want honesty? The best you're going to get is here. I'll give you both sides to the story. Somebody wrote me last night, says, you know, Chad, you always say there's left side, the right side, and there's the truth. You know what? There's your side, my side, then there's the truth. But that's left side, right side. That is the truth. I think Barack Obama tried to do a lot of things. And I think there was obstructionism. No, I think there was politics. That's what politics is. I think he has a legacy that will be defined by the left one way, the right another. Just like this president, even if he's uber successful or a failure, it'll be defined by the left one way or the right another. That's the way it is nowadays. That's the way we're polarized. But the fact is, giving an honest assessment of somebody nowadays has branded people as racist. Give an honest assessment about this, you're a racist. It's not the way it works anymore. I have news for you. The beauty of it is, and I think President Obama would say this, the fact that I can say he's done some good things and I've done some things that are wrong, I think if you ask him, he'd say, I did some things that were right, I did some things that were wrong. He might grade himself a little bit higher, but usually we grade ourselves a little bit higher, don't we? I wanted him to succeed. I wanted him to be a success. I wanted him to bring our country, you know, from a situation where we were in massive debt, we were in wars. I wanted him to be a success. He got some things right. He got some things wrong. The definition of a legacy will come over time as well as who writes that, right? It's like the victors get to write everything. That's how you get to decide who's the bad guy and the good guy in certain situations. I don't care that you call me a racist. You've got that in your mind. The fact that you're calling people crackers makes me think that you probably got a bit of a bias inside of you as well. Again, all of us in some way, shape, or form have bias. It's weird how we look at things. And it's sad nowadays that we can't even have an open, honest dialogue with one another without yelling, screaming, and then accusing people of being things. I don't care that you think I'm a racist, because nothing I can do will ever change the way you feel. But let's just at least be honest that you're probably not the most unbiased person either. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
By the way, tomorrow you can see my ugly mug. We're going to be streaming live starting tomorrow, Facebook living it. And so you'll be able to see me in a good Facebook way, not that Facebook way that would happen in Chicago. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But speaking of Facebook Live, we have this want nowadays. And by we, I mean mostly an under 30 generation to be wanted and to be adored. Not so much in human terms, I mean one-to-one, but in terms of how many likes can I get? How many times can somebody share my post? How many times can I get viewed? And we are going further and further in our life and pushing more and more boundaries to say, look at me, look at me, I'm over here, look at me, can anybody see me? Oh my God, do you like me? Yeah, and it's weird because, and this is something I think as an older generation, I'm 46 years old, right? You know, I mean, I'm pretty good health, get around, I don't consider myself old, but I know who I am, and I'm pretty honest about who I am. It's kind of hard to hide who I am. A younger generation has a different persona. Who they are isn't who they are as a human being. It's who they are in line. Online is the most important part of who they've become, which is fine. Not all of them are like that, but a good portion of that. The entertainment industry is starting to figure out now that there are... there's a new wave of entertainers coming, and there's a new wave of people that are going to be famous, and people are making money online by being famous. And you know what they don't want? They don't want to be in movies. They don't want to be in TV shows. They don't want to be in commercials. They just want to be online. They want to be famous to a lot of people, but be able to have the anonymity of walking into a mall or a restaurant, and nobody really knows who the hell they are. It's great. Earlier today, we were looking at, I screw up his name. Is it PewDiePie?
PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. Thank you, Producer Phil and Anthony, both of you at the same time. PewDiePie. I thought he made $6 million last year. You've probably never heard of him. This is what's insane. He is a gamer that plays video games, that people watch play video games, that is super famous. He has 50 million followers. He made $12 million last year. His net worth is $78 million. And if he walked in this room right now, I wouldn't know who he is. It's a different world we live in. But if you can't get that lightning in the bottle-like situation, people will try to do anything. Case in point, an idiot in Orange County, California. And I use the word idiot loosely, but he's the reason that Darwin may be right. Natural selection, kids. His name is Anthony Booth Amore. He likes to think of himself as part Evel Knievel, part stuntman, and he likes doing stuff online that's insane. And if you've not seen this and you've got an okay stomach, feel free to go check it out. But he tried to jump from a hotel balcony 8 stories up into a pool so his viewers could see it. And, of course, you live stream this. The problem was, due to the fact that he's an idiot, he misjudged the jump altogether, therefore shattering his ankles. He did eventually get into the pool. Missed it by that much. Did you think when he jumped at any point, did he say to himself, I'm not going to make this? And
you
by
know,
the way.
I think you know as soon as it happens. I've known, like you and I rode BMX. You knew when you came off that ramp, man, something's wrong here.
Yeah. I'm not there. This is going to end poorly for me. I've got about 3 seconds till I'm not in pain. Right? Like that is, and I think he knew. The funny thing is, I looked at the hotel, and to be completely honest with you, I'm surprised that he didn't make it. Was almost harder not to get into the pool than it was to get into the pool. But this is what the, because right now he is begging. He set up a GoFundMe account. He wants people to help him because it's costing him a lot of money. Shattered ankles and broken feet and lots of surgery still ahead. But this is what he had to say right now.
What am I going to say to haters? I'm so sick of people hating on me for doing like what I love, going at it full force.
Going at it. First of all, that alone.
Dude,
bro. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I don't care what the haters think, bro. I don't care if you think you can hate on me all you want, bro, but I am who I am, dude. And that is all that I'm ever going to be, man. I am Anthony Booth Amore. You call me Mad Dog or whatever you want to call me, man. You know, you call me all those things, but don't be hating on me, man. Don't be hating on me.
All I need is a good buzz and some tasty waves.
It is Jeff Spicoli, right? It's what it is. It's Jeff Spicoli. But he's not finished there. Now, mind you, he does a lot of these stunts because he's Evel Knievel. But Evel Knievel I admired. Because if you think back to Evel Knievel for a second, you watch these X Games and the BMX guys, and then you watch the motorcycle guys, and you see all this amazing thing that these guys do nowadays. They are working with real equipment. Evel Knievel had at best a moped, and he would try everything. He'd look at people and say, I'm going to light myself on fire. I'm going to jump over these crocodiles using my moped. Then I'm going to shoot down a mountain. And then I'm going to jump. Once I'm over those, I'm going to try to get through the hoop of fire and then go over all of the buses and land. And I'm going to do it live at Wembley. And he'd pedal as fast as he could. And he went for it. He tried to jump the Snake River on something he built essentially in a backyard. The guy had cojones. I think he knew each and every time, this isn't going to work. This is going to end poorly for me. But every man out there that's in their 40s or 50s had an Evel Knievel something as a kid growing up. They did. Absolutely. I had an Evel Knievel toy. It was great. It was this little motorcycle, and you'd put this thing, like this like it was almost like a ripcord thing in it, and you'd pull it out, and the wheels would spin, and you put it, and it would jump something, and much like Evel Knievel, it never landed right, and it crashed, but it was awesome. It was. This guy's not that guy. This guy's more of the jackass thing, where I'm going to light myself on fire, shoot a rocket out of my ass, and then I'm going to jump into a giant vat of acid, and we'll all laugh about it. But he's not finished here, kids, because the person had to, you know, from CBS LA, had to ask them, you know, how much longer are you going to do this?
I don't want to be arrested. I'm not hurting anyone.
When do you decide to give up the tricks?
When I die.
First of all, can I just point out something? Jumping off the building is not a trick. Right? It's stupidity. If he jumped off the building using, I don't know, a bicycle and did 7 flips and tried to land on a ramp, I'll call that a trip. You trick. Jumping off a roof? It's not a trick, guys. It's stupidity. This guy is stupid. But the want to be famous, the want to get likes, the want to be seen by people, the want to feel like you're something. And oh, look, as human beings, we all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. We want to be cared for. We all want people to dig us. You know, all of us would love, you know, Andy Warhol said everybody gets 15 minutes of fame, right? Some people, they extend that for a lifetime. Other people, they get that glimpse of it. And it's only a minute of fame. But we're all supposed to have that 15 minutes of fame. That's what people crave, the attention. The difference nowadays is people are willing to do anything to get that attention. They're willing to do anything. They're willing to go out in their backyard and do something stupid because they're so desperate for attention. That's where the fame is built now. The persona of a younger generation isn't going to be more Britney Spears and more, you know, more rock and roll bands. It's about being famous on the internet. That's what it's about. And it's crazy. It is. And it can also be destructive, as we've seen with asshats like this, or those horrific people in Chicago that brutalized that young disabled man. There's a want to be seen. There's a want to be liked. There's a want for attention. It's a new world. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. As always, love getting text messages. You can also email the show, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Dangerous jobs? Oh, there's a plenty of them. Dangerous jobs for men? Plenty of those. We'll talk about the 10 most dangerous jobs. We'll wrap it up. Chad Benson Show.
I'll take it.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Wrap it up. Being a man is tough at times. We're a simple creature, yet complex in our simplicity. If that makes any sense. Well, yes, it does, Chad. Work can be a dangerous place for both men and women, but particularly men. Last year, there were almost 5,000 deaths. Not counting active members of the United States Armed Forces. But the 10 most dangerous of all occupations I have right here. Of which, by the way, I have perused and I have done none of them. None of them. Some of them I find to be, it actually, one of them in particular, it's bizarre that it would be this dangerous. Number 10, supervisors of landscaping, lawn services, and groundkeeping workers. The fatal rate of injury for supervisors in landscaping industry is about 18 per 100,000. Not quite sure how you die like that at all. Not quite sure how that happens. Number of Hispanics and Latino workers over the age of 65, the injuries and deaths has actually remains pretty high. They say, according to the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, Number nine. This is the one that scares me, I think, the most. Because I fear electricity. I do. What's the great saying about electricity? It can cook your dinner, but it can also cook a man. Like, that's the great thing about electricity. It's crazy. Electrical power line installers and repairers. And you know what? When you hear about electricity, it's always about that creepy thing being degloved, where it burns you to the point where your skin comes off on your arms. Yeah. One of the things, though, when I was reading about this, and then Anthony brought it up, is many of the times electrical workers are killed. It's not so much from electricity. It's from falling out of the box or the bucket or getting hit by other vehicles. Oh, because not all electricity is running those power lines. But I'm just saying, 21 per 100,000 there. Number eight, you like your eggs? You like your chicken? You like your farm-grown vegetables? 22 per 100,000. That's the fatality rate of farmers, ranchers, and agriculture managers. Number seven, truck drivers. That's pretty much a given. You're on the road a lot. You travel in nasty weather. 24 per 100,000 there. Structural iron workers are at number six, about 30 per 100,000 there. They're tied. They're at number six, but number five is the one that I found to be bizarre. Refuse and recyclable material collectors, because that's what we have to call them now. When I was a kid, we used to call them the garbage man. But that's exactly, or the garbage person now, so not to offend anybody. Would you call them some sort of engineer, right? Refuse engineer, to make somebody feel better.
Sanitation engineer.
Bing, bing, Phil wins a cookie. 39 per 100,000. I am curious how 39 per 100,000 die being a garbage man. Falling in the truck. Oh, God. I'm sure it happens a couple times a year. That has to be the most heinous way of these things to go besides the electricity. But you think the electricity probably happens fast, right? Getting mowed down and by the way, can I just say this? I don't know where you live, but producer Phil, where I live, we have a guy that drives a truck with a giant arm that comes out and takes your can and puts it in there. And there's nothing going on there anymore.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be.
No, man, when I was a kid, I would run outside to watch the garbage man, and they'd take your metal cans, and they'd throw your garbage in there, and they'd throw it on the ground, and it'd be all bent to hell, and the lids never fit anymore. But you didn't care, because it was awesome.
It was fun to watch.
It was! The garbage man's coming, you'd run to the window. Oh, number four, roofers, that's pretty much easy. You go out there, and you fall off a roof. Don't do that. That's silly. Number three. Hey, you know, it's always safer to drive than it is to fly. Not according to this. Fatal injuries as far as aircraft pilots and flight engineer was about 40 per 100,000. Understand that this is mostly small, itty-bitty carriers and people who fly small planes, not large aircraft. Not, you know, the kind of, you know, Delta and United Airways and, you know, all of, you know, American stuff. No, these are itty-bitty kind of small Cessnas and whatnot, and people who travel for work that way. Number two is always up there. Fishers and fisher workers. Their fatality rate was about 55 per 100,000. And it's not going out on a boat and catching a bass kind of fish, right? It's not that. This is like deep sea lobster guys. Guys who talk like this, right? These are the guys that go miling. This is the perfect storm. Was that the name of that movie, Perfect Storm?
Close enough.
With, I know Marky Mark was in it, and so was Clooney. It was the Perfect Storm, man. That guy was wicked crazy for going out in that weather. And finally, numeros uno. It's always number one. It never changes, and it's not even close. It's more than double, almost triple what second place is. 132 per 100,000 people. It's logging. And I'll tell you why it's dangerous. First of all, most of them can't swim, but yet they're on those logs running on them, which is really weird. No, that's not it. It's dangerous, man. That is the most dangerous industry by far. 132 per 100,000. It's tough to be a man, baby. But for all of those things, I'm still terrified of the electricity. That's the one, man. That's the one. That is just, you don't want any part of that.
No,
solid fun
show. My brother
show
actually works for the light rail system in Baltimore and got a third rail shock.
Like, so what's the third rail?
Well, not the third rail. It was actually a catenary line that someone was supposed to have shut off, and they didn't, and my brother got burnt pretty bad.
See, it happens. It happens. I was talking to Blake, his friend, and his friend's father were just killed. They were on something, and they didn't even touch the thing, but it conducted through it, and they were done. They were just, and it just happened a couple weeks ago. And the one person that survived can't see, has no arms and no legs. Stay away from electricity, man. Stay away from electricity. Be a logger. Or better yet, learn how to code. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us, 365-247. Simple and easy. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. I get the numbers correct every once in a great while. Have yourself a wonderful night. For Anthony, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. As always, I bid you do. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.